May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 320. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. 320.
Thank you. From the Holy Word of God, let us read Psalm 42, and then also in the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 55. Firstly, Psalm 42. To the chief musician, Maskil, for the sons of Korah. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Note the margin, panteth, brayeth. For my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Wart thou cast down, O my soul? And wart thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy water spouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Wilt thou cast down, O my soul? And while thou disquieted within me, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Ho, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat, yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee, because of Thee, Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified Thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be, that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Let us pray. O thou most blessed and merciful God, we are gathered around thy word in thy good providence, and we pray that it may be in the riches of grace also that we meet around thy word. Oh, do make thy word a living word. And we look unto thee now, Emmanuel, at the right hand of God. And it is very hard for us to believe at times. Thou canst be an art more full of grace than we have sinned. Because, Lord, our sin to us seems immeasurable. There seems to be no height or depth or length or breadth to our wild minds and our wild thoughts and our misdeeds and the depth of the plague we solemnly know and feel within. But we would believe the report, Lord. Oh, the scriptures testify of thee. They really do. From Genesis to Revelation. And in them is revealed, oh, what an abundance of riches of grace, a superabounding grace. Lord, a grace and love and pardon that outreaches our sins. And it makes us to realize, Lord, how great thou really art. Oh, what a wonderful God thou art. We're mean here below. We limit thee, we have mean thoughts and low thoughts of thee at best, and we have to confess it. And we do pray now as we are favoured to meet in thy house, And may it truly be the house of God to us tonight. But we pray for the Holy Ghost. Oh, that the Holy Ghost may be in our assembly. Oh, there may be a sacred spring felt and known in pulpit and in pew. Oh, do give us some water, Lord. Some living water. Let us give that poor sinful woman at the well living water. She didn't deserve it. She couldn't deserve it. She was held deserving, and so are we, every one of us. Oh, but thou didst sovereignly visit her. Oh, thou blessed Prince, sovereignly visit us and speak to us as thou didst speak to her, that the word may be very gracious and effectual as it was in her case, to reveal thyself, thou didst I that speak unto thee, am he. Oh, Lord, she knew little about a Messiah. Ah, we seem to know so little about a Messiah. But may we know, oh, a blessed something of the Messiah. Oh, the Blessed One. Oh, do speak to us then with power and authority and love and tender mercy. And do show some poor sinners here this night their sins, which are so many, are all forgiven. Do speak that fear not. Oh, arise for our help. Come where we are. Say, be whole. Or as in another case, Ephatha, be opened. Open our eyes. Open our ears. Open our hearts. Oh, do minister the gospel under the powerful and sweet influence of the Holy Ghost. We beg. We do need in our lives, Lord. We do. We're so frail. Oh, we're mortals. We journey on through our days here so quickly. Oh, the sand glass of our little life is running through. And we do not know how much sand we have in the top glass. And oh, my Lord, prepare my soul for that great day. Oh, wash me in thy precious blood and take my sins away. Take away the sense of guilt and distance and bondage that sin brings. Take away the love of sinning. That'll be a miracle. Well, we hope one day we shall come to a place where we love sin no more. But this side of the grave is a struggle. We can only confess the truth, what we find so solemn and distressing, Lord, that after all these years of mercy and love, there's something in us that still loves this dying world and wicked things. Well, that's our bad case. But we pray for the reign of grace, that sin may be subdued, the affections and the lusts may be crucified. Oh, crucified by the love of Christ to us, and that we may be willing, oh, to resist the devil, that we may overcome. Oh, Lord, we're earthbound. We do confess it. But, Lord, be our future. We don't know our future days, but be with us, Lord. Be our Saviour. Be our daily helper. Be everlasting strength, Lord. Lord, we are everlasting light, we pray. Order our way safely, Lord. Or may we, as we have to journey on, we do know so little something, though nothing like we deserve. Lord, all thy people know something of this, the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. One way or another we know. But may we hear that voice behind us, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When ye turn to the right hand and to the left. One thing we can say in our troubles, Lord, thou hast not dealt with us after our sins. We haven't the trials we deserve. No, we deserve much more. But remember us in our weakness, in our trials. Oh, the scriptures are full of poor men under trial. How they cried, how they entreated thee. How they called upon thee for mercy and life and deliverance. And the same holy record is so full of many deliverances, answers to prayer again and again. Oh, do lead us in the way everlasting, Lord. Oh, may we overcome. Oh, be formed in our heart the hope of glory. Oh, may the Holy Spirit show us those precious things of thyself. We may be encouraged. We may be strengthened. We may be emboldened to press toward the mark for the crop, the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Oh, come and save us. Arise with healing in thy wings. It's all about our cases here tonight. The difficulties, the weakness, the fears, the temptations, the worries about the future, wondering how things will unfold. Will our needs be provided for? Oh, will the Lord make our crooked things straight and rough places plain? We have those thoughts, Lord. And oh, may we be enabled sweetly to trust in thy name, to trust in thy word, to trust in the Lord. That's what we pray for. The humble faith that addresses thy mercy and thy power, Lord, as the poet puts it. For there's much mercy and much power with thee. We read in the psalm that mercy and truth are met together, and righteousness and peace have kissed each other, and truth shall spring out of the earth. Well, it has in thee, Emmanuel. Oh, may the truth then spring up into our hearts. Oh, through Emmanuel, in visiting the earth and bringing in that everlasting victory, salvation by life and death and resurrection, and now ascension into heaven. Oh, far above all principality and power and every name that is named, thou sat there with that all-prevailing, glorious name. Oh, may we believe in the Lord, trust in the Lord, put it all into thy hand, leave the issues with one who is too wise to err and too good to be unkind. Please forgive our sins. They are so many, Lord. Oh, it's something that really seems to surround us at times. And oh, the enemy, oh, he soon gets an advantage. He's the instigator of all the mischief and woe in our lives. We can't blame him, Lord. Eve blamed him. And Adam blamed Eve. But we can't do that. Though we know he's such a troublemaker in our soul and in our life. He wants to destroy us. And Lord, he's got fertile ground within to destroy us. He certainly has. But we look unto thee to be our defence and our saviour. We confess our faults to thee. We blame ourselves. We deplore ourselves and plead mercy through blood. I make my plea. O God, be merciful to me according to thy word. So, Lord, bless the people tonight, that all where friends are in family affairs and business affairs, their personal pathways, their weights and their worries. Bless thy needy, thy waiting people, Lord. And bind this people together in love and union and godly fear together. May thy spirit remain among them. Oh, may the Holy Ghost not be grieved in any way. Keep them needy, keep them poor. Bless office bearers, give them wisdom and grace and godly fear. And bless the young and rising race and the children and little ones, Lord. Oh, we do pray for them. Precious never dying souls, born into such a world as this. Modern age of Antichrist. As we realize what man is up to. And he sought out many witty inventions in this modern, digital, global age, Lord. When he's poised as he thinks to do so much and to be as God, that thou'lt bring down the pride of man. Lord, this world's a doomed place. Lord, do we give our dear young friends as they grow up that wisdom to see? All things here are cursed and dying. There's nothing solid here, nothing that can really satisfy. Left to ourselves, we'd be satisfied with the lusts and the pride and the pleasures and the flimsy peace here below. And make all our dear young friends in due time wise unto salvation. Bring them to realise that all things are shaking. There's only one solid, blessed, glorious rest, everlasting peace and felicity and consolation. Oh, eternal security in Emmanuel, who is everlasting love. Do hear prayer. Bless then this people, add unto them such as shall be saved, with both sweetly constrained or exercised by the Holy Ghost to walk in gospel ordinances and to do these things in remembrance of thee. Fight for them in due time, an under shepherd, a man of thine own providing, according to thy heart. Bless the dear flock and friends at home. Bless each dear friend and precious soul, both young and old. Oh, we need thee in Zion. Oh, to be kept to the end, kept faithful, preserved. Oh, to be preserved in Jesus. We look back over the journey, we have been preserved. Wonderful. Wonderful. Oh, there have been some narrow escapes, Lord. Oh, but a hair's breadth between our soul and death and in sin, as well as natural dangers, Lord. Oh, thou hast been mindful, merciful, wonderful. Please be the same in the unknown pathway before us, Lord. We do thank thee then for so many mercies. Oh, mercies to us since we were born. Oh, being so good and gracious and kind. And we bless thee for a hope in the gospel. Oh, those everlasting mercies received. And because of everlasting mercies, they can't be lost. We often feel we've sinned them away forever. Oh, and fear the Lord can't return now. It's too late, too bad. But all we've lived to prove. Thy mercies from everlasting to everlasting upon all those who fear thee. And we do fear thee. We would fear thee. We'd reverence thee and delight in thee. We desire to honour thee. Oh, do make us grave and sober and temperate, tender, to walk in the love of thy Spirit. Oh, Lord, we read the psalmist says, delight thyself also in the Lord. Shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Oh, may we delight ourselves in thee, Lord. Give us the life in our soul. Any special cases, remember them and help them. We thank thee for the beautiful seasons. They are beautiful, Lord. And the hope of another harvest, the promise of another harvest, the ripening fields. And we observe that the early harvest has begun already of the grain harvest. Oh Lord, do grant, Lord, a safe ingathering, the root crops also and the fruits of the earth. Faithful God, men would not acknowledge it, but may we acknowledge it. May we recognise the good hand of God in his Noahic covenant. And oh, may we remember one who has sworn all things through Jesus Christ in thy everlasting covenant. Lord, may we believe this. And may we so fill our mouth with holy arguments in spite of so many defeats. Oh, so many ditches, so many miry places, so much sin. Oh, so much hardness of heart, Lord. So much forgetfulness of God. So much independence. So much prayerlessness. But may we remember those holy swearings. If thou didst swear by thyself, because thou couldst swear by no greater. concerning the priesthood of thy well-beloved Son. Oh, may we call upon thee. We're sinners, but may we be among those sinners saved by grace with an everlasting salvation. Now we must turn to thy word. Do help a poor man, or do loose a stammerer's tongue, or grant some living waters, grant that help from above. Plead thy great pardon and thy great love and thy great mercy and all the ocean fullness of thy grace. We plead thy all-prevailing name for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 1097. A refuge for sinners the gospel makes known. 'Tis found in the merits of Jesus alone. The weary, the tempted, and burdened by sin were never exempted from entering therein. 1097.
Thank you.
in complete dependence upon the help of the Holy Ghost, I ask your prayerful attention to Psalm 42 and to verse 2. Psalm 42, the second verse. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? God is and will be the refuge and strength of every one of his people. His name being Jealous, he will ensure in his great love to them that they cannot do without him. I say very carefully, because his thought is eternally, Christ cannot do without his people. You may think that an odd or a dangerous thing to say, but his thought is eternal, you know. He loves his bride. He loves his people. He will have them with him. And though one should speak very carefully, he expects that his enemies be made his footstool, and that'll be the day when the bride will be complete with him. So it is his will, and it is his eternal delight and thought, that his people will be with him one day. And if you're among that people, that's why you have a thirst and a longing. You must possess the land. You must possess Christ. You see, this thirst has two aspects to it, really. There's a necessity, a need, a great need. And as we journey on, we have to say an increasing need. But this thirst has this aspect to it. It must be satisfied. If thirst isn't satisfied, it's death. Certain death, naturally speaking. And certainly spiritually speaking. And therefore, the refrain in the hymn of the poet, "Give me Christ or else I die," is a real exercise and thought of God's dear people here below. So the psalmist said, "My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" And we naturally thirst for many things, and it's not wrong to thirst for certain earthly blessings, lawful blessings. We naturally do, and the Lord in his bounty kindly gives to us. But this thirst, I believe, was for eternal blessings. Although he was in need, he wanted deliverances. He wanted to know that he belonged to God, and God was with him, that God would go before him, make his crooked things straight, his rough places plain. Oh, the psalmist needed tokens. Oh, God's dear people need tokens, don't they? But you see, this thirst really was a thirst toward the author of that thirst. That's a wonderful truth, isn't it? We love him because he thirsts. Loved us. Oh, if there's a real thirst in a man's soul for reconciliation. Oh, a real thirst in a man's soul. Oh, to know peace between his soul and God. To know forgiveness. Oh, to know the Lord's tender love toward him and his hand to be upon him, to gird him with might and strength to continue unto the end to overcome. God is the author of that faith. You see, dear friends, in nature, God has put in us a natural thirst. A natural thirst. I mean, even a man in his innocence, he had a thirst and a hunger, but everything was well supplied. It was on tap, as it were. And the juices of the beautiful fruits and the herbs that they could eat, you see, satisfied the hunger, and the mists, you see, that watered the earthly paradise, satisfied them. But God put that natural thirst in them, a natural hunger. They could eat and partake of all the beauty of that place by the fruit of one tree. But we've eaten the fruit of that tree, and the hospitals are full, and we're afraid. We have trouble. Soul trouble. What a great mercy if you have soul trouble. Not many people do. All men have providential trouble, and they grumble and complain. But are you a poor sinner that pours out your complaint unto God? And is your greatest trouble yourself? And your greatest grief, your manners before God? Our sins. I know providential grief can be so great. I realise that. Especially in happy family ties and happy married ties. Oh, there's such a worm and such a grief to that lovely earthly felicity and joy. Death will separate it and finish it in grief and sorrow. But I mean this, you see. What a mercy if you have a grief about yourself. And what a mercy, my friends, in that grief you want God. Oh, you see, if you begin this living water, your heart goes out after God. Like he panted for God, or Margin brayed, cried out for the living God. Does your heart bray? Oh, are you among that people the Lord spoke to in the Beatitudes? Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Well, the psalmist here who says, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. So what are those things that make us thirst then? I'll try and consider that first. And then secondly, oh, you see, in your thirst you want to come before the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? There's hope there, isn't there? See, faith in its sweet workings has hope. Faith must have hope. There's no faith at all. Oh, a faith in exercise. Maybe soul trouble, maybe grief. Your beloved may have hidden his face from you. You may have sinned and grieved the Spirit away in the comfort and consolation of your soul. But if you've got faith, you're on that blessed one who you know is love. And if that faith in exercise and crying out, there must be a degree of hope, a blessed hope in him, mustn't there? So you see, firstly then, we'll consider something of this thirst. The sorrow and the grief in the thirst and the longing in the thirst. And then this exercise of appearing before God. He was exercised to appear before God. That is, have a holy interview. Or to be entertained, that he may get access. He may pour out his heart. He might tell God his secrets. He might cast all his care and draw from the wells of salvation that all-sufficient grace, that he may hold fast, be content, that he may be strengthened. Oh, that he may truly walk in that path of tenderness and gracious love to God. Oh, my dear friends, you see, that you might possess that patient hope to draw with joy from the wells of salvation, to draw the life that's in Jesus for your soul, draw it out of him into your own poor heart. You see, dear friends, therefore with joy shall he draw water out of the wells of salvation, and Christ is that deep, sweet well of love, if I may borrow from Rutherford. Oh, that well that is by Bethlehem's gate. Oh, how David in his exercise and danger in his warfare, he wanted a drink from that well. And he poured it out to God. Well, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God, his life. I'm sure this, friend, you've got plenty of carnal thirst, and you know it too, you who fear God. And so is your poor minister. And all these carnal thirsts bring sorrows and disappointments and frustrations and deaths, don't they? Oh, but my friends, there's a blessed thirst that brings life and peace and joy. But why do we thirst? Oh, because we're so sinful. What a mercy, my dear friends, to have a thirst about your sinnership before God. Oh, you thirst for relief, forgiveness of sins, everlasting love. Oh, my dear friends, you thirst for living waters, sanctifying grace. Oh, to know that you're justified, forgiven, reconciled, and you want the life that you may be willing and you may be strengthened to resist the enemy and all his subtlety and art. One of our hymns says somewhere about our hearts being fertile ground. I can't quite quote it, but I don't need to do that, do I? Because you who fear God, you're well aware of the fertile ground of your own heart that breathes all ill and all woe and all sin. The nature we have, that's why we're dying. But you thirst that in God, do thou my sin subdue, thy sovereign love make known. The spirit of my mind renew, save me in thy Son. Another poet says, take away the love of sinning, Alpha and Omega be. We're not to think that the Lord's people live perpetually in outward sin. They don't. They do have their slips and falls according to the scripture. And I know the bitterness of my own case, and I'm sure some of you do as well. But it's that conflict in your soul. You fear sometimes, then it will suddenly get an advantage over you and you'll be gone. And he says he'll get you one day. Your soul thirsteth for God. But what do you want? You want the efficacy from that fountain opened for sin and uncleanness. This, you see, not only can bring about a peace to your soul and a sweet satisfaction and a peculiar joy, but this is effectual in subduing and making us willing in the day of his power. God doesn't give his people eternal life to manage and say, well, now, if you can manage that eternal life and resist this and resist that, then you'll have eternal life at last, you see. Oh, I'll meet you at last in peace. If you can, as it were, resist this and do this because I've given you something to do it with. It's not quite like that, is it? You need his presence every passing hour. You need contact. You need the light of his countenance. You need a solemn awe upon your spirit. We need an eye of faith to realize the eye of the Lord is upon us in all our ways. We need some abiding sense, don't we, dear friends, of the cost of our redemption. I rather struck the other day by one of Philpott's remarks. I know I've read it before, but it seemed to strike me so blessedly, really. If we want to see exceeding heinousness of sin, Then it's to be seen in the sufferings of Christ, to really perceive that the just one, the blessed one, oh, he who is love, far beyond my comprehension and yours, pure, lovely, sweet Emmanuel, so good, so kind to sinners, sweating great drops of blood, disfigured, his visage marred more than any man, being in an agony, praying earnestly, crying out for the living God, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because my people love sin. Because my people are lost. And so he bore their iniquities to redeem them. See, this is what we thirst for, an abiding sense of the cost of our redemption. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. Oh, my dear friends, and how we thirst for him in the griefs and troubles of this life. You long for those tokens in your affairs and your providence. We know that our providence is for this life only. But nevertheless, you need God who has numbered the hairs of our head. We need him to be a performing God in all the minute details of our life. And he brings us into places and into trials and into those solemn sorrows whereby we realize that we need his loving care, protection and provision. Oh, we cannot go on without his strength. His gracious leading, him to go before us. See the scriptures, how those godly men, they had to wait upon God at every step. Moses was well instructed to take the people to the promised land, but he had wisdom. He didn't want to go without the Lord's presence and the Lord's help. It's like that in our affairs here below. You want to see a mighty hand, a gracious hand. You want to know that the Lord's thoughts are peace towards you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil in your affairs here below. His watchful, loving eye. Yes, he who commands the winds and the waves, as we read in Psalm 107. Who brings us into these various trials, you see, he alone can make it a calm and say, peace, be still. And how he brings these storms into your life that you may learn graciously his power, see his goodness. You may see him planting his footsteps in the sea, him riding on the storm for you. Coming over those waves and those billows to visit your soul and bring about a great calm to know it is well. Oh, then you're unable to leave your all with him. But you see, until you can leave your all and cast your care, oh, your soul, it is weak and crying out for the living God. Hungry and thirsty, our soul faints within us. We thirst for his presence in our trials, don't we? You know, when we're in trials, get a sense of his smile in your soul. And, you know, it seems to bring such a strength and a hope and a consolation. As in these trials, if you get a sense of his presence, you see, you begin a little fellowship with him in the way he went for you. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. They mocked him. They said he trusted in God. Let us see whether God will come and deliver. He calls for Elias. Let's see whether he'll come and deliver him. The apostle in his writings is very plain that he, with strong crying and tears, he poured out his soul before God. And he was heard. In that he feared margin for his piety because he was holy, because he was righteous. And the way it is rendered, unto him that was able to deliver him. It seems a strange passage, doesn't it? Did the Lord need deliverance then? What? Almighty God the Son. Did he need deliverance? Well, what saith the scripture? Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications, you who having to pray your way along, oh, the God-man, Jesus Emmanuel, prayed his way along. He well understands your case. When the days when he'd offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared, he really had to pray unto God that he may be enabled to drink that cup fully, completely dry, to drink up all the wrath of God. Oh, to that God may be emptied of all his wrath and anger against you and I for our inventions. Though he were a son, yet learned the obedience. And he was heard. God heard him. And God sent an angel to strengthen him. So well understands your case. Now, you see, there is in this thirst a real sense of your need of being joined to God. And we want waters. We want love, strength, a sense of his loving eye upon us, his tender heart toward us. We are safe, eternally safe. See, this is what the psalmist wanted to know. That the Lord was with him, the Lord was for him. It would be well, it must be well. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. You see, we feel our need of much grace to be given us. Much grace to be given us. I want strength to be given us to do his will. We thirst for that strength, don't we? To really walk in Jesus' might in the face of much difficulty. Hounded by the enemy, threatened. The cry, turn back, turn back, turn back. Your exercise, you know, in following the Son of the living God. Oh, there's a cry, turn back, unfit. No, not for you. But you daren't turn back, child of God. Bunyan's character had no armour for his back. You're safe in facing toward that holy city where you believe Jesus sits and reigns above. Though there may be clouds between him and yourself, clouds may seem to obscure and come between your soul and God, and you hear the noise of the archers and the enemy against you and guilt dragging you down. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. Oh, Lord, give me strength sufficient for thy. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Oh, we want to be led in the way everlasting. His spirit is good. You see, you thirst for that strength to continue. And you thirst for his merciful appearance in your troubles. Merciful appearance to answer your prayer. To answer your prayer. Well, there are many things that make us thirst. You see, there are these conflicts. I was thinking much today on that conflict. I did wonder whether to preach from it for a while. In the Rebecca inquiring after the Lord about the violence in her womb. There was this unusual, I know of course with twins there will be movement, but this was something significant. It was a violence, wrestlings within, you see. She inquired of the Lord, and the Lord said there are two nations and two sorts of people. It's like an allegory, isn't it? Remember, Isaac had entreated the Lord about the barrenness of Rebekah's womb. But he had something to entreat the promise, didn't he? Oh, do you see a beauty in Christ? Do you believe in the Lord? Isaac did. But oh, the promise wasn't coming. Oh, that particular exercise didn't seem to come down. It was a promise of salvation. Some of you may have a firm hope in him, and yet the Lord has hid himself. There's trials, there's darkness. Your beloved withdraws, and maybe in a pathway so far from your first hope, your first love, those intimations to your soul, so far away. He entreated the Lord. Oh, may we entreat the Lord about the word upon which he's caused you to hope. Wrestling prayer can wonders do and bring relief in deepest straits, and prayer can force a passage through iron bars and brazen gates. Another hymn says, prayer climbs the ladder Jacob saw. And prayer climbs the ladder Jacob saw. I just can't remember how it goes now. It gives fresh exercise to faith and love, and brings every blessing from above. My dear friends, have you had, as it were, little time in your life? No, prayer makes the darkened cloud withdraw. Prayer climbed the ladder Jacob saw. Where are those dark clouds? And has there been a Jacob ladder experience, a Bethel in your life, and now you're far from it? My soul thirsteth for God. Oh, may we wrestle on for deliverance. So you see, Isaac entreated for Rebekah's womb because of the word of the Lord concerning his salvation. You know the word, Lord, for your salvation, but such a barrenness seems to have spread around your tent. You've left your first love, as it were, and not deliberately or willfully, but there's been this gradual, subtle drifting away, you see. His love is everlasting love to you. Our love to him is by his love to us, and it's sweet exercise only known by the gracious supplies, you know. The gracious supplies. But in that life he's given you, have a saving knowledge, he's the Christ. That's the point, you see. Our exercise wax and wane, and they go down, but if he's shed abroad his love in your heart, you have a saving knowledge, his love to you. Therefore, there is some hope in your heart, he must return. But he'll have you cry to him, as he had Isaac cry to him. Well, you see, Rebekah conceived. But what a struggle. And I feel it's a clear allegory between the two nations in your soul. Oh, those two armies in the Shulamite. Oh, the world, the flesh, the devil on one side, and the love of Christ on the other. Grace. Reign in grace. The elder shall serve the younger. That was originally there. The nature we were born in, sin and shame and iniquity. Yes, the new birth will subdue. The new birth will reign. That's the hope of a believer. The apostle groaned, didn't he? Well, you see, we thirst that all our sins might be subdued. We thirst for his reign, thirst that he will reign graciously, sanctify us, set up his kingdom in our heart, enable us to take up our cross daily and follow him. We may pursue unto the end, we may not turn back. Well, it's looking unto him in the heavens. But I must hasten to the second clause. When shall I come and appear before God? He wanted to get to his feet, his blessed feet. Well, my dear friends, you see, this is the exercise of beholding the throne of grace, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. What a sacred terminology. What lovely terminology. The throne of grace. The King of grace sits upon the throne of grace. Free grace, sovereign grace. For sinners poor, sinners vile, hell-deserving sinners, sinners with a persistent sinnership, sinners with a besetting sinnership, original sinnership, or birth sinnership, whatever terminology we like to use, there it is, and it won't be dead until we die. But grace reigns in the heart. And that grace will bring you. You see, he gives you eternal life. To thirst and to begin to believe the sweet truth of him, you may draw near to the Prince, to the Prince. You see, the Lord Jesus will mean something to you if you're a child of God. He won't be like a root out of a dry ground, having no form nor comeliness, like he was years ago. But now, oh, that I might order my cause before him. Oh, that I might come to his seat. I'll tell him all my grief and tell him all my woe. So there's a drawing now near and a real sacred apprehending in the exercise of your soul of his person. He lives. Oh, the eternal, I must draw near. I cannot take no for an answer. All those gracious characters that came to the Lord Jesus. Or how that Syrophoenician woman, that woman of Canaan, how she had the root of the matter. She knew who he was. There's the root of the matter of all Holy Ghost religion. You know who Christ is. Because the Holy Ghost delights to take of the things of Jesus and make them known to you. Well, you see this, you want to come and tell your case. That I might order my cause. When shall I appear before God? Yes, the living God. The living Lord Jesus. We can only know God, the living God, in the person of Christ. We know in the sense that he's eternal, therefore he lives and doesn't borrow leave to be. But if we know not Christ, he's a consuming fire. It's death to us. It's curse. It's an eternal woe. What we can do is to flee from that God, as Adam and Eve fled from the voice of their Maker. But he made a promise. And this is what the Lord lays in your soul, friend. The hope, the solid hope, the sure hope that's in Christ and Christ alone. And this is why we want to come before God. Therefore, you want to come, yes, you want to appear before God. The friend of sinners. The friend of sinners. What a blessed friend. There's no friend like Christ, you know. I mean, earthly brothers can be hot and cold. Or they can drop off their affections and loves, can't they? The Lord save us from it, because we can be like it ourselves, you know. We'd complain about others, but we can treat others just as bad ourselves, left to ourselves, can't we? Grace makes us honest. We do want to abide in union with all the dear saints, but we can't save each other. There's one blessed, solid, glorious friend who abideth faithful. I cannot speak well enough of that glorious person, Christ, the real friend of publicans and sinners, who never sent any poor, sinful worm away, who calls upon his precious name and asks for his name's sake and persists at the throne of grace. Are thy sins beyond recounting, like the sand the ocean laves, Jesus of life the fountain, into the utmost saves? Or sins unnumbered as the sand and like the mountains for their size, the seas of sovereign grace expand, the seas of sovereign grace arise. The friend of sinners. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Oh, sinner. And I'm not speaking perhaps just men under early conviction. Folks under early conviction. But again and again, we perceive, We realise, it's a daily sense, what sinners we are at the end of the day. Oh, such a sense, Lord, my sins, my failings this day. What a friend we have in Jesus, I say, very reverently according to the poetry. Blessed, glorious, eternal friend. Why, my dear friends, when shall I come and appear before God, who loves his church of seekers, his church of believers, his church of comers, his church of humble suppliants, oh, his church of thirsty pilgrims who want reality and want mercy. He'll never send any coming sinner away because he's love. Because he's love. You want to come to him who is love, and in love has blotted out as a thick cloud our transgressions. We'll not remember our sins and iniquities anymore. Or want to come to him who alone can support in his tender love under our trials, who alone can really satisfy you in your inmost heart and carry you safely through. Or you want to come unto him, my friends, who reigns eternally over all powers. The devil's got one reigning over him, my friend. Jesus, he's conquered sin, death and hell and the devil. The devil's limited, but mind you, he's got powerful teeth and mouth, hasn't he? Oh, my friends, when he gets his teeth into you, you can't get away. Only Jesus can help you then. When he stirs up your wicked, wicked heart. Oh, when he allures your side into forbidden things. Or when some wicked thing is stirred up in your heart, it grips you. Then you're in real trouble, aren't you? When he sees you weak in providence, and the Lord may allow him to come and molest you. Now, the Lord isn't being unkind. He wasn't being unkind to Job when he allowed Satan to buffet him. He wasn't being unkind to the Apostle Paul when he allowed that messenger to come and buffet him. He was teaching both Job and the Apostle Paul his covenant love and faithfulness. That nothing, not even their sins or their troubles, could separate them from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Because, my dear friends, that love has put away all the sins and the filth of the daughters of Jerusalem. That love, my dear friends, has put away the sins of the people of God forever and forever, blotted out, cast behind God's back. And that love has planned your life. And love eternally designed when love would visit you and bring you into concern and bring guilt upon you. Oh, open your heart, begin to perceive your ways, your madness, your follies. And that precious love gives you desires and longings. Lord, bless me. Oh, I'm so weak. Do save me. Do help me. Do be with me. Do what I cannot do for myself. And that precious love, you know, has planned your life and ordered your providence. And that precious love ever hears your cries and your prayers. Love is offended. When love doesn't hear your prayers and your cries, when you're going on nicely yourself, and you don't need your bridegroom to come and help you. Oh, my dear friends, when shall I come and appear before God and to God's great high priest, my mediator, all this day's man, the loving man Christ Jesus? You see, You go to somebody you see by faith, and you know the lovely, holy, living person of Jesus, the Son of God, yes, and the Son of Man. Jesus is the Son of God, the eternal God with his Father and with the Holy Ghost, that vast, eternal, divine, the I am that I am. And Jesus is that blessed Son of God who is God with us, the God-man, the Son of Man, and touched. Touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He wasn't actually touched with our sinful infirmities, that he had no sinful thoughts or sinful unbelief or sinful doubting or sinful lightheartedness and sinful forgetfulness. He didn't have that, but he was touched with the feeling of our infirmities under trial. He was a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. He felt in his own soul, without sin, all the opposition and the sorrows here below. And he was led in such a pathway by his Father. He walked in his Father's ways, under his Father's commandment, to say those things and to do those things his Father gave him to do. Without sin. And to set his face steadfastly to Jerusalem, to drink a cup, to put all your filth and all your wickedness and all your waywardness. I don't just mean in childhood and youth. I mean from your first breath to your last. All laid upon him. He drank up that dreadful cup. And now, having finished salvation, he gave up the ghost. And your salvation may be seen in two wonderful and glorious aspects. The robe of righteousness prepared by Jesus Christ is your actual righteousness, who lived the spotless life by which you're worthy to go to heaven as a holy, sinless person. Oh, your life is hid with Christ, therefore your life is viewed in Christ as sinless and spotless and righteous. He loved God for you. But what about our sin, the punishment? He's made a curse. Oh, my friends, God poured out his vengeance upon his holy, lovely, spotless soul and laid on him the iniquity. And the margin I like in Isaiah 53, his wounded margin, tormented. Tormented for our transgressions. Oh, my friends, he sweat that great drops of blood. Now this is love, you see. And how you want to go to God's great high priest. Now, he's finished that salvation by life and by death. And brought in a righteousness that your sins can't abolish. And the devil can't abolish. And God will never abolish his righteousness. For my righteousness can never be abolished, saith the Lord. And now he's risen the third day for our justification, that you may plead him in your troubles, anguish, fears, sorrows, guiltiness and sinfulness felt in your heart. May you plead with him about your future. May you go to God's high priest. Great high priest. Yes, sitting there, even this evening. We know the priest in his, as it were, in his ministerings here below, he stood and offered and did these things, but he sat down. He's finished all the offering. He's finished all the service. Oh, my dear friends, he now sits as King of Glory, God's high priest. You may go to his feet. When shall I come and appear before God? The feet of Jesus, and tell him my whole case. Weep before him about myself, my wicked self. Oh, base wretch, base ungrateful monster. And yet tell him of his mercy and his loving kindness. A sense of his goodness and love, together with a sense of your rottenness, will bring you to weep many times at the feet of the Lord Jesus. He plead his faithfulness there. Who he is and what he is. The uncreated angel of the everlasting covenant. A God that cannot lie. The Son of the living God, who can't turn back from his covenant. We know a world of a disappointment, a world of change, a world of shallowness, a world of dishonesty. Oh, my dear friends, we live in a world and our creatures, at best, we are unfaithful. It cannot be so with God, with Christ. Oh, my friends, he's that faithful, solid friend, as I said earlier, that faithful, solid friend of publicans and sinners. May go and tell him your case and plead him. May plead the promise of his word, what he has promised in his word. You may plead the word upon which he has caused you to hope. Do you hope in his word? The psalmist did. Here he says, hope thou in God, but elsewhere he says, I hope in thy word. Do you hope in God's word? That word upon which has caused you to hope? You may plead it again and again before him. Jacob did. Oh, Jacob, when he was Esau was coming towards him, oh, how he pleaded the covenant, what God had said. Jehoshaphat likewise. Job couldn't find him. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. Well, if you could find him in all his cause, he'd show me his complaint and his trouble. But he couldn't do it. He couldn't get near. But he knoweth faith, precious faith, in his exercise, clouds and darkness between his soul and God. Not because he was such a sinner, but the Lord was trying his faith and left him in the hand of Satan for a season. It was preserving his soul and preserving his body too unto the appointed hour when he should leave it behind and go to glory. But Satan seemed to destroy soul and body, you see. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. But he knoweth the way that I take. He knoweth the way you take here tonight, friends. There's a loving, tender eye in the court of heaven upon all those who fear him, long to know him, thirst for him, want reality. You who hate yourself for what you are, but you long for the reign of Christ, the reign of grace. He knoweth. He knoweth the way that you take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold, and so will you. You will come forth as gold. Thou shalt see my glory soon, when the work of grace is done. Oh, what a mercy, my friends, can truly be said, say, poor sinner, lovest thou me? Or dost thou have a love toward his cause, his name, even a little love, kindled by him? Is that why you come out tonight? You felt you had some need of the gospel, though you perhaps failed today, and you failed yesterday, but you can't keep away from the house of God. There's something in the house of God. There's something in the gospel ministry that's so attractive. I must possess it. I must know it. Is the cry of the poor and needy. And they are poor and needy too. And so is your minister here tonight. We need all that's in Christ, friend. And we need those fresh supplies of grace. Well, that's why we have a thirst and a longing to appear before God. See, at a real hope. Ah, he knew he was the God of the everlasting covenant. He knew that he was his God. And he that hath begun this good work, the apostle says, being confident, holy confidence, and being confident of this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And methinks I hear some poor soul say, yes, Lord, do perform it, do perform it. Well, my soul thirsteth for God, for his blessings, his further helps, him to be with me, him to bring me through, him to prepare me for such a glory, such a glory. That glory that I have not seen nor ear heard, and in the heart of man, those things which God hath prepared for him that wait for him. It says in Corinthians that love him. Such a glory to be prepared. Well, Job concluded something very sweet and blessed, and he was about to enter into it. After all his desperate sorrow, the wormwood and the gall he passed through, he concluded, I know that thou canst do everything. Why, God spoke to him out of the whirlwind in these matters, humbled him, and when we're humbled in the dust, it brings that place. I know, Lord, thou canst do everything. Well, may we wait upon our God and you're a blessed person that thirsts for the living God. And oh, may we ever have that increasing exercise, that great exercise. When shall I come and appear before God? You who, yes, appear before him now, the throne of grace. Oh, there's a day coming. He's appointed it when you will appear before him. Yes, the throne of glory. Let us ask the Lord's blessing on the word. Lord, bless thy own word of grace. Pardon all that's been spoken wrongly. Do give us that increasing thirst after thee, the living God, we may come before thee and tell thee everything and receive everything from thee. That is our petition. Take us now under thy shadow and grant journeying mercies, and spare us in mercy to meet again according to thy will. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Pack is expected to preach next Lord's Day and Mr. John Rosier next Tuesday evening. Let us conclude with hymn 330. Your harps, ye trembling saints, down from the willows take, loud to the praise of Christ our Lord, bid every string awake. 330.
May the grace of our Lord and the Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet communion and comfort of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, both now and for evermore. Amen.